So perhaps it's safe to say, but it isn't official. Lena Kagan is on her way to being voted officially onto the Supreme Court after the hearings this week. This formalities, and the Democratic majority makes it seem as though she will make it to the court. So we decided to ask Scott Turow, practicing lawyer, author of Presumed Innocent, and also he wrote the book 1L, which is a book all about his first year at Harvard Law School. Lena Kagan, of course, dean at Harvard Law School. We asked Scott Turow what the dean of Harvard might have to do with being on the Supreme Court.
Lena Kagan, from the time she became a law review member, has been dealing with very gifted colleagues and ones who have different views than she has. And that would be particularly true as dean of Harvard Law School. And Lena Kagan made substantial changes there, which I think are, for the most part, viewed as greatly to the benefit of the institution. And so what you're talking about, somebody who has tremendous diplomatic skills on top of acute intellect.
Do those diplomatic skills translate to the kind of diplomacy you need to deal with the likes of Nino and Clarence Thomas and John Roberts?
Well, again, you would have to look at what she accomplished at Harvard Law School, where there were, for decades, profound ideological splits between the faculty. Was a faculty that was riven over issues about, what's called critical legal studies, the hiring of minorities and women. And Lena Kagan came in there and gradually made it a kinder, gentler place. And I don't think you can understate her achievements as dean of Harvard Law School, because it's an institution that for more than a century and a half has sort of been resistant to fundamental change.
So in a sense, one of her achievements is defanging the place you wrote about in your book, 1L.
It certainly is. I mean, as the author of 1L, I've always kept a weather eye on what was going on at Harvard Law School. And despite a lot of chest thumping there and people declaring that, it's very different and there's no truth or it's different today. And the fact of the matter was that it remained fundamentally the same, with a bunch of intellectual titans trying to play King of the Hill with their students. And to my eye, the most important thing Lena Kagan did in the face of sinking ratings for Harvard Law School is get hold of the faculty and say, look, this place is not about you. Hmm. It's about our students and educating them. And we just can't have egos run amok here any longer.
Finally, give me a sense of your acquaintance with her as being an insight into what kind of a justice she might be.
Well, I can't claim to be best friends with Lena Kagan. I met her through mutual friends when I visited Harvard Law School to give a talk and saw her on a variety of principally decanal matters over the years. But we do have a lot of mutual friends. And actually, when she was nominated for the court, it did dawn on me, I have never heard anybody say a bad word about Lena Kagan. And as I said, we do have several friends in common with whom I'm close. And if they had gripes about her, I frankly think I would have heard them. And instead, our mutual friends have always been her great admirers. And I put a lot of stock in that.
Indeed. Scott Turow, author of the new book, Innocent, also wrote 1L, all about the culture of a Harvard that Scott Turow suggests maybe doesn't exist because of the deanship of Lena Kagan. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.